I'm Shannon McKinnon, host and media producer at Cybercrime Radio. Welcome to Let's Talk SOC, a Cybercrime Magazine podcast series brought to you by SecureWorks, a leader in cybersecurity, empowering security and IT teams worldwide to accelerate effective security operations. Joining me today is Kurt Dennis. He's the Senior Manager of Product Management at SecureWorks. We're talking about prevention and why it's not enough. Hi, Kurt.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, it's great to meet you.
Tell me a little bit about your role at SecureWorks and how it relates to prevention.
Yeah, I run a team of product managers making and integrating the next generation of endpoint protection technologies. So this includes integrating third-party endpoint products such as Carbon Black, CrowdStrike, or Microsoft ATP. It also includes building our own technologies and including protection technologies. So as a product manager, our job is to make sure everything that we do with our team adds customer value. We listen to customer voice, we use market drivers, internal innovations from the team, and we do all that to meet unmet needs from our customers and unarticulated needs. So my experience is on endpoint, but frankly, in this space in cybersecurity, product managers really need a deeper understanding of everything that a customer may touch so that they can better place their product in the portfolio.
Why don't you believe that in the cybersecurity world, a good prevention strategy is enough to avoid a breach?
Oh, it's not a good strategy. It's a critical strategy, or at least part of a critical strategy, right? Behind general hygiene, I think, and just backups, as far as best practice, I think endpoint protection is the next stop. The top threat to business right now is ransomware, and prevention and good hygiene alone will do a lot for that security posture. However, those two won't stop threat actors from getting in. The world's changing, right? We're moving from perimeter IT to identity. And when all of your assets are in one location, you can get a lot of information from a local firewall. Today, with more and more companies being forced to go remote, you need endpoint monitoring to ensure that your corporate assets aren't getting compromised. So in this new hybrid working environment with cloud and email and identity tied to cloud accounts, this extends the buyer's programs pretty quickly. So I guess to top this off, threat actors are moving faster than they ever have, right? There's more zero-day attacks and more unique attacks than we've had in the past. And in the meantime, the threat actors are moving more quickly when they're in the environment. I think in 2011, it was an average of like 420 days a threat actor would live in an environment. And now we're talking in days before exfiltration or other damaging events happen. So customers really need endpoint prevention and they need detection in order to detect and eject those types of threat actors very quickly.
What are some of the common ways threat actors infiltrate someone's ecosystem and move around?
These are often referred to as TTPs, so tactics, techniques, procedures. You might be surprised at how simple some of the vulnerabilities are that we see that enable that initial access. And sometimes it's as simple as someone just accidentally configuring an internet-facing RDP port to a server with a password with not enough complexity to it, right? In that environment, without rate limiting, a password that's even 12 or 24 random characters long can be brute forced in hours. So the point is that threat actors use things that are opportunistic more often than not, and just commonly used tools and threats that are out there to get access. So think Cobalt Strike, right? This is one of the most popular OSTs that are used for threat actors, and it's responsible for 19% of the intrusions. Short story, threat actors get in 1 week initial access point, typically through poor configuration or some type of execution of an exploit that allows access. And then once in, a threat actor may execute a payload to do a scan to deploy the payload even wider or encrypt or delete data, depending on what they've executed. Oftentimes, this data will be harvested and collected. You'll get ransomware multiple times. So once on the initial gathering to unlock it, and another on data exfiltration and threat of sharing. There's many ways beyond ransomware, too, that threat actors fund their campaigns. And the reason why the industry is calling this ransomware as a service is it's being treated like a business by these threat actors that are out there. So in order for us to spot what's happening and for customers to spot what's happening in their environments, they need higher fidelity alerts. They need to see all the breadcrumbs and they have to be able to act very quickly and respond with automatic prevention methods.
Combining all of your knowledge, how do you believe organizations can best protect themselves against breaches?
I think customers have to have visibility on the endpoint. Like, good detections combine telemetry from multiple sources, and it correlates that in a way that tells a story to the analyst. So as an example, we have detectors that you would expect would consider as a norm, like finding bad domains and possible travel conditions, but we have other detectors that are way more complicated, right? Things like hands-on keyboard detectors to help analysts have an opinion on whether or not this is a threat actor sitting at a keyboard and physically working, or just something that's happening in an automated way as part of the threat lifecycle. There's not really a one-size-fits-all in cybersecurity. There is an order in which you should consider threat prevention, and anybody that's in this space should consider hygiene first. You need some type of protection on your endpoints and a backup strategy. And then following that, visibility is critical on all points, especially on the endpoint. Configuration management, access control, compliance. Make sure that things in your environment are safe and you have others looking at what you've deployed. Even with the best statistical and historical models in the world, there's some things that can just be done better with advanced tech, right? And in these cases, we heavily leverage machine learning models, and that helps us get the speed we need to distill billions of alerts that we get daily down to just a handful.
There's a lot of buzz in the market these days on zero-day attacks. How do the strategies that you're talking about relate to zero-day?
Yeah, they're on the rise. What's even more terrifying is a lot of the zero-day attacks are ransomware or wiperware or something very damaging to the system. Business email compromise is still the highest return on investment for threats, and ransomware is causing probably the most damage to companies we've seen in cybersecurity in decades. So being able to spot behavioral detection methods and do that in a very reliable way and looking for obvious signs of risks is how you need to think about zero days. The endpoint technology that you choose must be able to react to a threat that might polymorph daily, right? If your technology is not incorporating ways of doing that in a way that leverages intelligence behind just behaviors of the threats, and you're likely gapped on your protection program.
Thanks for joining us today, Kurt.
Thanks.
I'm Shannon McKinnon, host and media producer for Cybercrime Radio. Let's Talk SOC is brought to you by SecureWorks, a leader in cybersecurity, empowering security and IT teams worldwide to accelerate effective security operations by continuously neutralizing the expanding range and attack surface of cyber threats. With their cloud-native security analytics platform, Taegis, they dynamically collect, correlate, and interpret security data gathered across your IT ecosystem. To learn more about our sponsor, visit SecureWorks.com. To keep up with all of our media, visit CybercrimeMagazine.com.